Well, we're not on vacation here at The Takeaway, but lawmakers are. This is their 4th of July recess. And while they're away, more than a million Americans are waiting for them to return and vote on a bill to extend unemployment benefits. The Senate's been stalled on this bill. Republicans have balked. First, they said it was because it would add to the $1.3 trillion deficit. But John Kyle of Arizona stirred the pot last week in the Senate. He said unemployment benefits cannot be extended indefinitely.
That doesn't create new jobs. In fact, if anything, continuing to pay people unemployment compensation is a disincentive.
John, do you think paying people unemployment
is a disincentive?
Is it a disincentive to find work?
Well, we should ask. We've got two people who
it's a good question. And we're asking it to our listeners as well. Do you think unemployment benefits discourage people from looking for work? Should we cut benefits off? And if you depend on unemployment, what would it mean to you if you didn't get your unemployment check? Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE. But we have two people here who can answer that question for us. Michelle Ives joins us again. She's in Texas and received her last unemployment benefits check last month. And Donovan Marsden in New York got his last check 3 weeks ago. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
And they're a part of 1.3 million people who, it's estimated, have lost their benefits, have fallen off the rolls in the first half of this year already.
That's right. Well, let me ask both of you. Donovan, how long have you been on unemployment?
I've been on unemployment for approximately 1 year and 3 months.
And Michelle?
It'll be a year August 1st.
Okay, so if you don't mind my asking, and let me explain why I'm asking this. You heard me play the comment from John Kyle, who said that people receiving unemployment benefits was a disincentive for them to find work.
Yes, I heard.
Michelle, how much do you receive in unemployment?
It's $744 every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks. And Donovan?
About the same, but actually a little bit more. I receive $400 per week. That's before taxes, and out of that comes my child support payment. So I'm actually getting personally a lot less than that.
Donovan, I assume that when you still had your job, you were earning quite a bit more than that.
Yes, I was earning quite a bit. I was earning about $54,000 a year.
And Michelle, you also...
I was making $20 an hour when I was working, and so this is like half the money. So
okay.
I don't know why anybody would say that somebody would want to live on half the money that they used to make.
Well,
this is crazy.
Well, John, he's basing his comments on a study that was done in 2003 by a couple of economists, and they said they discovered the evidence suggests that longer-term unemployment led to longer-term unemployment. In other words, the longer benefits led to longer periods of unemployment. And once the benefit ends, according to this study, about a third of these unemployed people quickly found work. Michelle?
Doesn't that mean that maybe they're judging, you know, the job recovery? And so, I mean, it does sound coincidental, but I know that you don't want to not work. Nobody wants to not have benefits and try to scrape by on half of what they were making. Maybe there might be a few people, but, you know, people who receive unemployment are able to do that because they've worked their whole lives. They're not lazy. They're not looking for a free handout, and it just makes me crazy when I hear them say things like that.
So, all right, let's go at this directly, though, Michelle and Donovan. There's this assumption, and I don't know if the study bears it out or not, that somehow if you got cut off, and you are actually cut off, that there's some sort of roll up your sleeves, go out into the garage, you know, get out there and do something completely different that might get you into a different sort of job, but would end up, you know, putting you back to work. Is there such a scenario, even in the wildest kind of scheme, Donovan?
No, I don't think so. I think the scenario is that I'm going to roll up my sleeve and try to figure out how to pay these bills. I'm going to go talk to my landlord and try to convince him that, hey, you know, something is going to happen. I'll be able to pay the rent. I'm going to spend sleepless nights trying to figure out, okay, now am I going to sign up for the state shelter system? Am I going to go sleep on my daughter's couch? How am I going to put food in the refrigerator? Should I go to a soup kitchen? Which one should I go to? Which is best? That's what I will be doing. I won't be wondering. At this point, I'm not going to be worrying about finding a job. I'll be down to basic survival.
And Michelle, what about you? Is there a plan B with these unemployment benefits expired?
Not really. I mean, I guess I've applied for a Sallie Mae student loan that is over and above the tuition for the court reporting school I'm going to. And if that comes through, you know, I might have a little extra money to try to pay some bills. But other than maybe, you know, taking my car title down to one of the payday loan places and getting $1,600, I really don't have anything else.
Oh, man. That is a set of options. That really just brings the hair on the back of my neck up. I mean, I guess the question is, who's responsible, Donovan, for your survival? Is it just you, or do you need a helping hand somewhere?
Well, ultimately, I'm responsible for my survival. Luckily, we live in the United States of America, where we think about the other person. And there are plans for everything to help the citizens to survive in this country. So therefore, this unemployment insurance program, which is funded by businesses, taxes on businesses, and it's not a state handout. It's not a welfare program. This is a special program funded by taxes on employers for this purpose. And I might add, this also helps the economy, because with the 3 million, I think you were wrong on that count, it's approximately 3 million people who are now cut off from benefits, is what I heard on the news. This 3 million will not be putting anything into the economy. This money is actually going into the economy to help stimulate purchases and keep money flowing through the economy. So this is bound to have a ripple effect. I, though, am responsible for my survival, and I will survive. I mean, I will go in the subways and play my guitar and beg for money. But that this is not something that the state, it's not a welfare system. Well, I don't even have food stamps.
Michelle, how closely have you followed the vote? Do you follow your legislators and see how they're voting on this?
Watching C-SPAN all the time.
You sit and watch C-SPAN to see the votes actually as they happen.
Yes, because it's until the cable gets cut off.
That's entertainment.
Michelle Ives from Cedar Hill, Texas. She received her last unemployment benefits check last month, and Donovan Marsden got his last check 3 weeks ago. We want to open this up to our listeners and ask you the same questions we asked them. Do you think unemployment benefits create this disincentive to work that John Kyle of Arizona has talked about? Should we cut benefits off at some point? Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And you can also read a blog post from Michelle Ives about the challenges of being unemployed. That's at thetakeaway.org, and then click on blog.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.